Thanks for tuning in for the Book Club at 91.7. I'm Mark Purcell. In the studio with me are Bryn Muth and Julie Kramer. They collaborated on the new Findlay Market Cookbook, recipes and stories from Cincinnati's historic public market. It's available only at Findlay Market and through the Edible Ohio Valley Magazine website. You can find information about all that at wvxu.org. But Bryn and Julie, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thanks, Mark. Happy to be here.
Thank you. I wanted to begin by asking what sparked this project, because I know, Bryn, you make it clear in the introduction that you've been a longtime fan of Findlay Market, but what made you take that step and decide to do a cookbook?
Well, actually, it's kind of got a great backstory. The publisher of this book, this is the third in a series of cookbooks that they've done focused on farmers markets and public markets, and their previous edition was focused on the North Market in Columbus. So, of course, Jean-Francois from Taste of Belgium has a fantastic stand up there and also a longtime presence at Findlay Market. And he talked to the publisher and said, you have to check out Findlay Market. So the publisher then contacted Karen Colley at the market, and she recognized it for such a great idea. And they were looking for a writer and photographer, and that's how Julie and I got involved very willingly. So,
The Findlay Market is a little bit of the history for those who aren't aware of the history, because even though it's in the city now, it used to be really on the edge of the city and the edge of the country, too.
Exactly. I mean, that was what was so cool about writing the book, was really getting to kind of explore the backstory behind the market. You know, my husband and I have been shopping there for a really long time, so this gave me an awesome opportunity to sort of dig into, you know, what this place is that I love. So back in 1852, General James Findlay donated land to the city of Cincinnati with the stipulation that it be used as a public market sort of in perpetuity. And you're right, at that time it was on the northern edge of over the Rhine, kind of at the foot of Mount Auburn, and just in, you know, it was on the border between city and country. And I kind of like to think that the market sort of fills that same role today. It sort of links, you know, the people in the country, in the rural areas that grow and produce the food that they bring to sell at the market. So it still kind of straddles that line between urban and rural and kind of connects those two dots in a really cool way.
Lovely photographs here, Julie, all throughout the book. I found it interesting. Usually in a cookbook, you have these glossy photos of food, but but this, in the Findlay Market cookbook, it's more about the people. And you must have had fun trying to capture these portraits for this book.
We had a really, really good time. I have to say that all the personalities down at Findlay really came through in the photographs, and they were just super charming to work with and more than willing to take part in a project like this. I mean, it was, from a photographer's standpoint, I would say it was really kind of a dream project.
And while some of them are obviously set up a little bit, you have a lot of more candid shots, it appears, right?
Is
that true?
And that was sort of the direction from the publisher, too. Like, he wants these cookbooks to be more about the personalities of the market than the brick and mortar of Findlay Market. So it was sort of our direction going in, and I have to say that, like, everybody really kind of played along. I mean, it was just, I think it's just in their nature to be these like really loose, fun, really exciting people, and it would just it made my job really, really easy.
And I bet yours your job too, Bryn, because they are
they're characters.
I was going to say characters.
They're characters.
I didn't know whether I wanted to qualify them.
No, they're definitely characters. And that was just what was so cool about it. You know, again, I've been shopping there for a long time, and I know these people by face, and we've transacted business, but I didn't know them at all.
Right.
And we just got some really amazing stories. And some of these people are 5th, 6th generation Findlay Market merchants. And the stories were amazing. I mean, I don't know if anybody knows Jeff Gibbs of Gibbs Cheese and Sausage. I mean, the man is sort of the raconteur of Findlay Market. And he has such great stories, none of which were suitable for publication.
I didn't get to read any of them in the cookbook.
No,
but that said, we can't include them.
That's the next book.
Yeah, right. Anybody that has been at the market who's been involved in the opening day parade has really great stories to tell about some of the prime movers and shakers in our city kind of letting their hair down, having a few adult beverages a little earlier in the morning than would be proper, and kicking off the parade. So there were just lots of great stories. But really, I mean, I think Julie's right. The personalities of the market really came through. And, you know, I mean, this is what you don't get when you're shopping at a grocery store and pushing a cart through a bunch of aisles. You know, you're handing your money to somebody and having a conversation, and it's more than just, you know, buying a steak. It's there's something relational there that's really important, especially these days.
Bryn Muth, she is the author of the Findlay Market Cookbook, and photographer Julie Kramer here in the book club at 91.7 studio talking about the Findlay Market Cookbook. It's available at Findlay Market and through the Edible Ohio Valley Magazine website. Details at our website, wvxu.org. I you know, as it was with Mr. Gibbs, I bet there are a whole bunch of stories that you weren't able to include, and photographs too. What was it like when you were assembling this cookbook? You know, trying to balance the stories, the pictures, the recipes. How many late night fights y'all had?
not many.
Really, not at all.
Was kind of cool, though. I think that as I learned more about some of the merchants and some of the farmers that came to the market, Bryn and I would throw emails back and forth and say, oh my God, this is going to be a great story for Edible. Like, I think that what this has done for us is really kind of opened up a whole new editorial calendar for the magazine.
Right, absolutely.
Which is, yeah. I mean, phenomenal.
I should qualify things here. Bryn Muth is the editor of Edible Ohio Valley Magazine, and Julie Kramer is the publisher of Edible Ohio Magazine, Edible Ohio Valley Magazine. So that is why we are mentioning Edible Ohio Valley Magazine here.
Correct.
But it's all about food.
It's all about food. It's all about goodness.
Yeah. And I love that we collaborate on a couple of different levels, which is really great. I mean, you know, and Mark, to your question about like how to include what, you know, I spent like the better part of 4 or 5 months down at the market, you know, every single week having conversations with people. And Julie spent a ton of time down there, and, you know, you got a bunch of outtake photography and just, you know, lots of great other material that just didn't even make it into the book. I mean, as it stands, I think there's like close to 75 profiles and about 125 recipes in the book. So it's sort of an unconventional cookbook as far as that goes. I mean, the stories and the photos of the people are sort of as much a part of it as, you know, the recipes, which are great.
Right.
Too.
If you never make any recipe from it, you'll still get a great story. You'll get 75 great stories about people that you need to know in Cincinnati.
Yeah, it's funny. I think one of the like highest praise that we've had was from Kevin Lucan, who is one of the Lucan family that manages several stands at Findlay Market. And, you know, he came up to me and he was like, I never say good things about anything. I'm always complaining about stuff, which just cracked me up. And he's like, this is the best thing. He said, I don't need another cookbook. I go online and find a lot of recipes. He said, but this is a storybook, and I've read it. You know, I sat down and read it cover to cover. And so I think for people that don't think they need another cookbook, this is really more than that.
Well, 75 stories there, and many, many fascinating stories, romances that have blossomed at Findlay Market.
Right.
How it's gone from one generation to another, just wonderful stories throughout the Findlay Market cookbook. But let's pull a couple of stories out. I want to know about the oldest worker at, oldest person at Findlay Market, and the newest, because you know, while Findlay Market has been around since 1852, it has gone through some changes, and while sometimes the stalls' names have stayed the same, the people behind the stall have not.
Right, exactly. And so that's one great point, is that you know, sometimes as the stands have changed hands, the new owner keeps the previous name and a lot of the, you know, the customer favorites and that sort of thing. I think the oldest merchant at the market is John Gaudio Sr. And he and his family sell produce outside, God love them, just right outside Heist Poultry, kind of on the northeast corner of the market. They've been in this business for many generations. The newest farmer that I think I met was Annie Woods, who I totally have a crush on. She's just the most awesome person ever. But she is farming about an acre of land in northern Kentucky near Rabbit Hash. and she's 30 something and is totally into it and raising amazing, beautiful produce mm-hmm. that is super delicious. And this was her first growing season. Mm-hmm. So it was cool to see that kind of old new dichotomy. I mean, Findlay Market is sort of birthing new food businesses all the time.
Indeed. The stories, you know, you hear about Dojo Gelato and mm-hmm. The Churchill Teas.
Yep.
Just wonderful stories that these people. And it seems Findlay Market is the perfect mixing pot for all this. And it is.
Right.
You mentioned the farmer, Ms. Wood. And really, that's what Findlay Market is. And it falls in with Edible Ohio Valley Magazine,
sure.
where it's an interface between farmers and producers and the city,
right?
Basically,
exactly, mm-hmm. exactly, and I mean, there's always something, you know, some new stuff that's sort of percolating, and you know, just when you think you've been to Findlay Market and you've sort of seen it all, there's something new
right.
that's coming on.
Yeah, there's reason to go often.
You had a great photo of Maverick Chocolate. Paul and Marlene Picton mm-hmm. from Maverick Chocolate with the
newbies.
Big,
yeah,
and they're brand new. They just opened this year. Mm-hmm. So really, really amazing.
So for the photos, mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of these folks are characters and very outgoing and, you know, willing to ham it up for the camera.
Right.
So what was the easiest picture you took and what was, you know, what was the most challenging? who did you have the hardest time getting a good picture of?
It's kind of funny because I think we talked about it a little bit with Karen, and she's like, oh yeah, you're gonna have trouble like chasing down Neil Lucan. And I was like, okay, I knew it going in. And so I think I he's one of the first people I sort of went up to and said, you know, just so we're clear here, I'm gonna be bugging you and you're gonna see me a lot, and I just want you to, it's just to get a good picture of you. And he was you know, super nice and just said, okay, you know, I'm ready now, I got time. So he came over. We had actually set up a temporary studio in one of the empty storefronts down at Findlay. And so I was there for maybe like 2 weeks over the summer. And I basically was like, hey, you know, anybody can come in at any time. I just need 10 minutes and bring a prop. But Neil failed to bring his prop the first time. And I just said, you know what? This is great and all, but, you know, you're in a polo shirt, khaki pants. You know, I need something else here. And he looked at me. He's like, okay. And left. And I was like, great. This is not starting well. And then literally, like 10 minutes later, he came over in a bloodied apron with a container filled with beautiful steaks that he had just cut. And the shot that I have of him, I think, I don't even think it... The real good shot never made it into the cookbook, but I have it, and I need to do something with it because... The look of pride on his face is unbelievable. And he came over with these beautiful steaks, bloodied apron. He looked like he just stepped out of his stall. And it truly happened like that. It was like no real setup. There's nothing false about that image whatsoever. And I think for me, that was sort of the epitome. That was sort of like, this is it. If everybody can do this, we got a great cookbook. But some people take to the camera easier than others. And I just think that I think a lot of people were surprised by themselves at how easy it was and how, you know, if you just can kind of relax in front of the camera, then it sort of takes care of itself.
What? I think we both kind of met with a little bit of skepticism
yeah.
going into the project, because I think when vendors heard about, oh, there's a cookbook, they're like, what? You know, what's this all about?
And I'm not a chef.
And
that's
this, you know, yeah, I don't have any recipes to give you. And I was like, you know,
you have to.
What does your family make for Christmas dinner? You know, like,
right.
give me something like that. And so there was a lot of skepticism. And over time, I don't know if the merchants were sort of talking amongst themselves about it.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly when the photography started to happen, it became more real to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, since then, I'm sure you've heard nothing but rave reviews from these mm-hmm. vendors. I mean, they were sort of a tough nut, tough audience to crack and
right.
to convince that this was going to be worth their time, worth their energy, and great for their business.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're selling them like crazy at the
mm-hmm.
market. So I think they're all really, really happy with how it came out.
Well, wonderful stories, wonderful recipes, wonderful pictures. Thank you for sharing. Great stuff. And thanks for being here this morning.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks for having us.
Bryn Muth and Julie Kramer, who collaborated on the Findlay Market Cookbook, Recipes and Stories from Cincinnati's Historic Public Market. It's available at the Findlay Market or through the Edible Ohio Valley Magazine website. You'll find a link and more information at our website, at wvxu.org. And thanks again for listening to the Book Club at 91.7.